Hey, I had a really great time. I would love to do that again. So, give me a call back. You never did call me to let me know you got in safely. So, I was just checking on you. All right, call me back. Okay, I'm very confused. We went out, we had a good time. At least I thought we had a good time, and now you dodging me. You're not answering my calls. That's real crazy to me. Call me back. Call me back. Call me back. Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Save the Date podcast. This is the healthy dating preservation podcast for millennials and anyone else who might need it. As usual, we are your hosts, Imani
and Candace.
Hey, guys.
I still can't say my name right.
Girl, I was hungry. I'm sorry. I'm like, hey.
Let me drink some water then since we're doing it.
I'm sorry. I really am sorry. I did not mean to be on here eating. But you know how you make something to eat and you'd be like, okay, I'm just take a couple bites and then I'm gonna finish later. But then it was really good, so I had took a couple more bites.
I'm over here eating yogurt, depressed because I'm hungry. And I already went on my walk for today. So I had made a status on Facebook and said I didn't want to come out of this looking like a linebacker, and I ended up getting the most.
A linebacker?
Yes. And now I have the most annoying accountability partner ever, which I'm realizing I probably need, because I think other people have said they would be my accountability partner and they like give me a pass or like take my excuse. This girl. Negro literally sends an emoji 2 minutes before we supposed to go walking, calls and stay on the phone with me the entire walk. And if I try to stop early, be like, oh, no, you need to keep walking. Walk to your mailbox. Like that type of accountability. So I've been walking since Wednesday doing tour days. Probably not going to go back outside today. I said I was, but I think I'm going to just put my phone on Do Not Disturb so I ain't got to answer. I got a 10. And I'm not trying to get black. So
this, anyway. Well, no, I'm a good accountability partner for everything except working out. I would be like, you know what? It's not you deserve a good day, right? I'd be finding every excuse not to work out, but
man, I was like, I can't do this because my conference call gonna go over. He like, oh, okay, well, next time, since you gonna be getting on late, if you got a conference call, then you need to be pacing and send me a screenshot of your steps.
I know that's right.
I'm like, bruh, I need to start deleting people from Facebook before I put stuff like that. Because some people, like, are really into, like, getting healthy. So the minute that you say that, they like, okay, bet. Because I do this every day anyway, so I'm going to just call you while I'm doing it. You're going to go do it too. But I do need that. And I've noticed that my male friends, when I tell them to hold me accountable from like working out and eating healthier, they don't let up as easy as my female friends do. No, my female friends be understanding. They be like, girl, ain't flow in town. I understand. Don't go today. I know how that be. And guys be like, do it really hurt that bad? You can still probably go
push
walk.
Push through. And I be like, you know what? Leave me alone.
Right. They be like, well, my muscles get tight. I just work out and it loosen up. This is not the same. It's not the same thing, buddy. And they can go and like eat cucumbers and salt and pepper, and like to them they done had a full course meal, and that's just gonna make me want cookies.
Sorry.
If I eat something salty, I need something sweet. Like that's how my appetite works.
So. I had met a guy who said he would be my trainer. He has a really nice body. He used to play football or whatever. He was like, I'll train you, and I'll train you for cheap because it's not something that I do all the time, but you know, I would be willing to do it for you. And I'm like, okay, cool. And he was like, I'll even just like make you workout plans since we don't live, because he lives down in Orlando. He's like, I'll make you plans and you can do them on your own. I'll just, you know, FaceTime you or something like that. I'm like, cool. He like sent me some pictures, like some before shots, so I can know like where you want to, what areas you want to hit. I'm like, okay, bet, you know, whatever. I was ready to pay this man my monthly fee, all of that. I sent him the pictures. He made me a little, like a first little couple weeks workout plan. Then the next thing you know, he texts me like, you know, your body's kind of nice. You know, you don't look that bad. I'm like, all right.
So does that mean he's
this
not
going to Girl, he was doing too much flirting. I was like, this ain't going to work.
So that's what happened with my little trainer. He was free, too. He got on my nerves, though, because I also worked with him. So, like, he'll see me eating something I ain't supposed to and come in my office. I'm like, bruh. You about to get banned from coming up in here. Like, just act like you don't see me. I'm going to come work out tomorrow. God, dog.
No. not act like you don't see me.
Every day he asking me what I done ate, and that's when I was like, see, this is why I don't need to be paying nobody, because they've been unquit on me. But like, I was losing weight with him. The biggest thing was just me getting up in the morning, because 5 o'clock was really hard for me to commit to every day. But I was doing that.
I'm never gonna do that. Like, I'm never.
And then when he started liking me, that's what made it awkward, because I'm like, I really don't feel comfortable doing squats in front of you. Like,
yeah, it's like, why can't you just be professional? Keep that to yourself.
Right? Like, just don't tell me. And so it got weird. And then when I got in a relationship, it got even weirder, because then he would act weird when he would see my boyfriend in my office. And I was just like, you know, I'll just work out on my own. But I was having somebody like on me like that. I was losing weight. This accountability partner is more so like just forcing me to walk a lot more. So like, not having to do no exercises right now. So, but this whole 10,000 a day, I'd be like, bruh.
No, you need to get your steps
in. Some days I gotta. I've done 5,400 already today so far. So what I told myself is, like, on days that I'm like being short, I'm gonna just run my steps in my house, because I'd be forgetting that I got stairs. I could literally.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I have no way to forget, because I have to walk down to go outside. But
you just don't be thinking about it.
Yeah, and I also haven't been outside. Like, before Wednesday, I really have been staying in my house. Like, this is my jam. This whole coronavirus is sad. But the fact that we get to stay in the house without expectation of people being mad when you don't want to come to stuff is amazing.
I like
I'm like, even when people be wanting to do stuff, I'm like, you know, the coronavirus, I don't really want to be around nobody I ain't been around this whole time.
Don't be inviting extra people over. Like, none of that.
I don't know how long we're going to be able to use this pandemic as an excuse, but when outside open up, I'm still going to be like, oh, I'm just not feeling that good. I think I should stay away from people. I'm going to ride that out for a while, because I don't like canceling on people, but I definitely like being able to just stay at home and not go to stuff. So
yeah, me too.
I've been enjoying staying in the house, but it did start to make my body get a little
yeah, comfy. Me too. A little fluffy. A little comfy.
My roll is a little bigger than it probably should be. I'm not really losing my butt. I think my body is catching up a lot longer
to lose your butt than anybody else. Like, you have enough butt that it's gonna last you. You're gonna have to lose the whole rest of your body first before you lose it.
I think my body is catching up with my butt. That's the issue. So I feel like, and so my accountability partner, girl, no, you don't. Because then if I ever end up with a booty dude, we know I got to get my butt stick out. So there's a problem. But my accountability partner was very real with me. It was very painful to hear. But he was just like, Candace, he was like, people who did not know you, like, in the last couple of years or before you was this size, he was like, respectfully, because I'm not saying that you big. He was like, but people who didn't know you is one thing. He was like, but people who saw what you looked like before knows that you are not at your best self.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, and it's weird hearing somebody talk about you. You like, oh, okay, thanks so much for calling me fat. But he was like, Candace, like, you was like Buffy the body. Like, you couldn't, like, he was like before, like, fake butts was, like, a thing. Like, you could think you had a fake butt. And I was like, true.
Because the ratio.
You don't think about it like that.
No, yeah,
because I was so small.
And your butt has never been small, and that's period. But mine is, like, flat now. It's, like, still there. Like, you can see the little cup on the bottom, but it's not. It's
The cup is the most important part of the butt.
So, I've been hitting my squats and stuff. I be running the stairs in my apartment, and, like, I got a jump rope. Like, I've been working out. I hadn't worked out this last week because I had been doing...
press the curl.
I did some videos with my hair straight, so I didn't want to do too much, but I'm back. Today,
yeah, actually. I really hate that I actually have to keep up with my butt now. I will say, as an adult, like, that's really annoying, because I didn't work to get my butt. So, like, this whole, like, having to, like, because it's like you have, like, this fear now, right? So I've always been known, not that it was necessarily a compliment to me, but I've always been known as, like, Candace with the butt. If I ever lose my butt, that's an immediate sign that something has changed with my body.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so that there's, like, this insecurity and this fear that I have, because I know the minute that my body has already changed, the minute that it drastically changed to where my butt looks small, everybody gonna call me out on it.
Yeah.
And true. I know that, I guess that's not something I should be concerned about, but like, that, I mean, it's enough to be insecure about, and that's just me being transparent. So I'm like, I just want to, not for the sake of other people, but like I said, that's a drastic change. That's something I mean, you just said it yourself. That's something I've literally always had. So it's like, okay, Candace, now if your body start looking like your booty, it's a problem. So trying to get my life together, trying to figure out what I'm supposed to look like in my adult years, because I don't want to look like
a teenager, I don't want to look like I did when I was a teenager. But you know, I want my dance body back. Not that small, because I was a lot smaller when I was dancing. But the tone that
the
I
shape,
had when I was dancing, that's exactly what I want. And I really need to just go ahead and get back in some dance classes. So anyway.
I want my thighs to stop ripping holes in my jeans.
Yeah, we don't need that happening.
I'd appreciate that. I'm tired of turning pants and shorts. And I never thought I was going to end up being that girl with like 3 pair of jeans that fit. But I am that girl. So that's why I'll be wearing jeans that often. Because now, like, I gotta wear high waist jeans because my thighs, bro.
Girl.
So, you know, high waist jeans.
I feel you, my
right
thighs.
Right now, high waist jeans
are so
just
big.
So
no,
they're
like,
not.
They're but
still. You got nice legs, though. So,
oh,
I mean, you don't have. I girl. You don't have, like, skinny girls' legs. Like, you have, like, thighs. So
I do.
It looks nice.
But I got my mama's body, but smaller.
Yeah. So, I just have to buy high-waist jeans because I still need to be able to catch my waist.
True.
But I need pants big enough to get over my thighs. So I gotta find my happy medium.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and get into this episode then. Candace,
okay.
You got our pickup line, sis.
You know what I did?
All right.
I don't know where this one is stupid. It said, I wish I would cross-eyed so I could see you twice. That's not the
oh,
one.
Oh, my goodness. That's hilarious, actually.
It is. Okay.
I like that one.
Okay, we can stick with that one then. Y'all use that one for the week.
Okay. This episode is, well, the topic of this episode is ride or die. I wish I had, like, a little echo. Maybe I can add an echo there. I don't know. We'll come back to that.
I'm just jocking on you.
we're gonna probably dip a little more into relationship than just casual dating than we normally do. But I still think there's quite a bit to be discussed here about, I guess, the implications of that even before you start dating somebody. So let's get into digging the scene. Exactly. So what exactly does it mean to be a ride or die to you? And then I'm gonna look up the
okay. I was about to say you about to read the description you asking me. I feel like a ride or die is somebody who has your back, like, without fail. Like, they trust you. Even if they question you, I feel like ride or dies don't question you publicly. They have a very much so public support for you. And they got your back, like, 100%. Like, today, I read this status, and it was like, if I tell you that you and my sister can fight one-on-one, and I ain't gonna jump in, I'm lying. I was like,
100%. I wish my sister would get in a fight, and I wouldn't jump in, period.
There's no way I'm not. Like, most times, I hit first if somebody trying to fight my sister. So, if you get jumped, it's just what it is. That's ride or die. Like, you're not touching her without touching me. Everybody in my hometown, like, when we were younger, it was like, okay, well, you got beef with Kalisha, you fighting Candace too, for sure. Because if I'm there, you ain't gonna just hit my sister, so.
Well, I think that's what it's supposed to mean. Like, somebody that is gonna have your back no matter what, who is gonna be, you know, but still hold you accountable,
but I would agree.
You know, not gonna ever embarrass you, that kind of stuff. But at the same time, I think the popularity of the phrase in, like, popular culture has come down to a little bit something different. You know how we...
Just not abandoning people altogether?
Yes. And even when they need to be abandoned sometimes.
Yeah.
So, this article that I found on... Well, actually, let me just read the definition of ride or die that I found just Googling. And it says, ride or die is a term used to describe a person, usually a woman... That's the first issue. That is willing to do anything for their partner, friend, or family, even in the face of danger. And that usually a woman part is the part that I'd be like, see? And that's why. That's how we got here. Because
yep.
We all know
that's
that.
That's how we end up here.
Yes, we all know that there are different...
I was talking to somebody about that being confused with, like, submission and why people why some people have a negative connotation to being committed to somebody, because they looking at somebody who riding for somebody. They probably had no business riding for or submitting to in the first
place. The people requesting submission don't even know what submission means. And they be referencing the Bible and don't know the rest of the verse either. So I'm just saying
talk about it.
Because, well, let's put that out in the open. I don't know the whole verse word for word, but I do know at the beginning of that verse is wives submit to your husbands, not women submit to men. In general.
Thank you.
So, if
but
you
it
just,
also gives directions for husbands. Too. It absolutely That's why we does. Say, stop having a conversation about submission if you're not gonna have the full conversation. Like, be somebody to be submitted to. Like, and submission does not. And we ain't even got. I'll go off on a tangent for a minute. But people need to understand what submission means and understand what it means. Like, because our conversation happened because they were comparing cultures, and I was like, you can't compare African culture to African-American women and say that, like, you admire the way that African women submit to their husbands, because in some cultures it's not a choice, and in America it is, and if I gotta choose you, I'm gonna choose correctly.
And I mean, point blank period, men use that to talk about how women are supposed to act toward men, and that's not the case. It's
right,
how,
like,
how
you're not
a wife,
even prepared.
The verse is saying how a wife should regard her husband. Now, whether you agree with that or not is another story, but I'm just making the distinction that if you are not my husband, there is no submission for me to give you. If you are not my husband, you should not be expecting my submission. And my personal husband should know how we gonna talk about how that's gonna look anyway, but
but that's what I'm saying. It's just submission is very gray, and I feel like sometimes it gets brought into these ride or die conversations because people don't understand what submission actually means.
So then what does it mean to you already shared what it means to you to be a ride or die. Do you think you are a ride or die?
I think I can't.
Do you think you are a ride or die, and do you want to date a ride or die?
I think I can be, depending on the situation. I definitely think that I'm loyal. I will say that, but I'm not stupid. So, like, I am a ride or die. Like, for if it's somebody I'm dating and I care about, you rocking, I'm rolling, I got your back. But if you put me in a situation that is going to put me in harm's way intentionally, that's when I got to assess how hard I'm riding for you. So, like, if, you know, I had some friends, still have some friends, and they street pharmacists or whatever.
Come on,
I got
street pharmacy.
I'm not about to be telling nobody your business. I'm not going to let nobody talk bad about you. I'm not going to let nobody put you in harm's way just because they know what I know. But at the same time, I need you to ride for me in a way that's going to make sure that I'm protected, that I'm not being put in a situation where if you about to get in trouble, I'm present. I don't need to see what you're doing. I'm that type of ride or die. And now I ride for you as long as you ride it for me. So, yes, I would want to date somebody who has me in that same regard. Like, you got my back. I don't want to be lonely, or I don't want to have to feel like I can't trust you and I can't be safe with you. So, being a ride or die has to do with, like, feeling safe with somebody to me. And I definitely consider myself to be one. If it's necessary, I do feel like some people are entitled prematurely to that type of loyalty.
Yep, we're finna get into that too, prematurely. I think I absolutely think I am just in general a ride or die person for people that I love. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the time that comes with a mutual respect.
Right.
It's not just, well, sometimes it's to my detriment. I can say that. Like, I'm not afraid to say that when I really love somebody, like, down for somebody, not romantic love, just when I really care about somebody, I do have this mentality that this is a person that I love, and they may just be having a time of disrespectfulness, or this might be just something that they did. They're going to be sorry about it later, whatever, but I might still have their back or whatever. But at the same time, I do know my limits, and I know when I'm giving too much and when someone is not, when I'm pouring out and not being poured into, I know that I have to let go. And that doesn't discount the fact that sometimes I do not want to. I still want to stay with somebody, even when they're not really doing the best by me. Like, they're not doing right by me, but sometimes I still want to stick with them because I want to see them on the other side of whatever negativity they're doing. And that's with people that we've already established a loving relationship, so I know they can do better. Like, I know they know better, and they're just, maybe they hurt my feelings this one time, or they're going through a period where I feel like they're not healthy for me, but I feel like it could get better. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I just want to stick around, but I don't, because I also know better. So let's talk. I found an article called Why Being a Ride or Die Can Be... this is not the name of the article. I don't even know what I was about to say. Hold on. So, why ride or die culture promotes unhealthy relationships. And it gives all these examples of, like, relationships that everybody sees as ride or die, like public relationships, like okay. Like, you know, T.I. and Tiny and Gucci and Keisha K.
Well,
or
they riding
and...
a burning car.
Okay. Yeah, they riding Tiny. And dying. Okay. But you know, I would say T.I. and Tiny are a good example of when we talk about how the woman is expected to be a ride or die, but the man ain't, because
He wasn't riding. He wasn't riding. Like, the minute he started questioning her, he was over.
I mean, because I'm saying, like, she has been with him through all of these very public mishaps that he has had, making her look very badly. And then the one time she was associated with somebody else in the public eye, he will never let her forget it. He's always bringing it up. So it's like, where is the ride or die now? Like, where are we going with this if you can't ride or die for me? Mind you, I think both of them are ridiculous, but I'm just saying. So
they're made for each other. It's starting to seem like.
This article is on onelove.org. And it's long, and it talks a lot about why the idea of being a ride or die and usually requiring a woman to be such is very unhealthy and problematic. And a lot of it has to do with manipulation, and it's usually one person controlling the narrative of the relationship. But I'm just going to choose one little excerpt from it. Okay. But this is, it's talking about when you fall victim to ride or die culture and not, you know, you're actively participating in it with a willing partner. It says, losing sight of your own values because of a manipulative partner is a common thread among people in these types of unhealthy relationships. Before you enter a relationship, you should know how you want to be loved and what your deal breakers are so that you can clearly communicate with your partner about your values and never feel like you have to give up a part of yourself for your relationship. And I think in a nutshell, that is exactly where ride or die becomes an issue, is when you have thrown your own morals and values to the side and adopted someone else's that are manipulative or abusive or something like that. And I also don't think that the other person always intends to do that. And I'll give an example.
That's a choice sometimes.
Right. I was talking to a friend of mine. I might have told you this story already because we both know this person. But their relationship is in trouble. And it's because of something that my friend did to their partner. I ain't gonna say whether it's a boy or a girl, any of that, because I don't want nobody making no connections. But this person did something that is an offense to their relationship or whatever. And when their partner said, you know, that's my deal breaker, their reply was, well, you've done the thing that I think is my deal breaker twice, and I stayed with you. And I told my friend, that is a horrible thing to say, because one, you made the decision not to leave on your deal breaker. You did that. That's not that person.
Especially
your partner,
when y'all clearly had conversation about deal breakers, and
that person knew that that was your deal breaker, and you knew that this was theirs. So when you chose to stay, that was your decision to make. Not to say that it's your fault that they did something that, you know, is your deal breaker. It's not, but you do hold a sense of responsibility for the part that you played in it. And if it's actually your deal breaker and you didn't break the deal, that's not their fault. Now, when it's your turn, that your partner absolutely has the right to tell you adios. They don't have to stick around because you stuck around. That's where manipulation comes in. You don't throw back in somebody's face when you forgave them for whatever it is. You can't do that.
And my sister had said that to me before. She was like, if you say you got a deal breaker, then you need to stand on it, because you can't get mad if, like, you do something to them that they, like, absolutely not, I'm out. You can't be like, well, I stood by you when you did blah, 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 because, okay, you just a person who didn't say what you mean what you say, but they do.
Yeah.
And they meant what they said when they said that this time is the last time. If you fickle about that, that's your fault. That I'm not saying that that makes it even better or no, their it offense doesn't. Is okay, but say what you
that's
mean
what you're teaching what you them, though, right? When you don't
your
leave on your
that's your behavior, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So. There's a couple of other articles. I'm definitely not reading all of these. One of them is a lot more lighthearted. And these okay. are ones that I think can help us in the dating stage before you even get to that situation. Because I think another thing we don't think about is we think about being somebody's ride or die in a relationship. And you think about you cannot do that for somebody you're not in a relationship with. But I think you always need to look for certain qualities mm-hmm. before you even get there to know, like, so that when you end up in a jam, you're not looking stupid thinking that your partner was gonna hold you down, and the whole time they've been showing you they were never that person. Uh-huh. So this one is on bustle.com, and it's 16 moments when you know your partner is a ride or die. I'm not reading all 16 of these, but these are lighthearted, and I thought these were pretty good ones. I just choose a couple of them. One was when you embarrass yourself in front of them and they laugh it off with you. This may not seem like a big deal, but to me, I'm awkward and embarrassing. So if I do anything, like, I know there are some people who are looking for a certain kind of image with the person that they're mm-hmm. dating. So to me, if I can do something embarrassing or make a mistake in front of you and you don't hold it over my head or treat me like I'm weird or stupid or anything like that, I'm going to feel like you have my back when I maybe have a public mistake or a public mess up, and mm-hmm. I know that you're not in love with or attracted to this image of myself
of me, but you
when
just,
you see exactly
so that's definitely happened to me before. I did something very embarrassing. I couldn't make it to the restroom one time. Too much alcohol. And it was date night, and my boyfriend had to come get me, and his friends were like waiting on us and stuff. And so I was so embarrassed to even tell him, because it was like really early in our relationship. So like, and this is probably the first embarrassing thing I did, and I mean, I'm an adult, so this is already embarrassing. And like, I think what made me be like, dang, like, he really liked me, like, because he could just be like, you're gross and you're a child, I don't ever want to talk to you again. He came downstairs with a shirt wrapped around my waist and walked behind me and had a towel and stuff laid out for me when I got to his apartment.
Oh, that's sweet.
And I was like, see, I feel so much better. I mean, I'm never going to do this again. But I wasn't embarrassed. He wasn't like, and it was weird because it was like he wasn't embarrassed of me. You know, he thought it was mm-hmm, funny. Right. He picked with me about it in private, but he wasn't like embarrassed of me like, oh my God, you need to go home. I'll just tell them.
Right.
You know, type of thing. So.
Girl, I have done many an embarrassing thing in my life. I'm always, well, I'll say I don't embarrass easily because I'm always doing something awkward or weird. But yeah. When I am embarrassed, it's very embarrassing and I do not forget it. Like, it has to be something that I am mortified by and I like remember it for the rest of my life. But I will say there, you know, me being just awkward and kind of embarrassing in general. There are mm-hmm. things that I do that I think, oh, he's going to be embarrassed or whoever I'm with might be embarrassed by that. It don't embarrass me because it happens to me all the time, but maybe they might. And I know as of recent, I was out with a guy that I'm seeing and we were at a party being, you know, just regular party self. I'm standing on this thing. Everybody's, you know, doing all this dancing and rapping and stuff. I'm standing on this thing. Girl.
You feel?
I ain't fall, and I'm gonna tell you why I didn't fall, because my ride or die was right there to catch me, period.
Yay!
Caught me so quick, I didn't even realize I was headed down before he was catching me. But yeah, I wasn't embarrassed, but I was thinking to myself, like, Lord, now everybody didn't see this, he embarrassed, he don't want to talk to, he was weak though.
He's like, there go the girl falling off the
I
table.
Know, was that your girl sliding all around on the couch? That's embarrassing. But okay, so here's another one. When it's your birthday and they put in the effort to make it special. Y'all know how I feel about birthday. So yes, that is a huge deal to me. When you have a death in the family and they are there for you. And I will extend it to just any family emergency.
Uh-huh.
I do feel like if I can't come to you when I am sad or scared of something or just kind of like breaking down about something that's happening personally, if it's all kikis and hee-hees and ha-has and you can't be with me through something dark, I don't really know. Especially if it don't have nothing to do with us. It's just me or it's just you this time having a moment. I think that is, well, to a certain extent, but yeah, like some kind of family emergency or personal problem issue or whatever, and the person is there to support you, I think is a good example of somebody that's gonna be your ride or die. Hello?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Oh, shoot. I heard a sound and I was like, Lord, we done got cut off. Oh, when they make you feel comfortable meeting their family. Some of these are dumb. Like, they like when they start using we instead of just me and you and I, but that's funny. Not no ride or die. Anybody can use
we. Weird. Yeah.
Right. taking care of you when you're sick.
Yes, and that's a good one.
Celebrating your successes with you is a really good one to me. Well, it's always important to me as a person who dates heterosexual men to not have a man who needs to be at the center of everything I do. So when it's time for me to have an accomplishment, he's able to celebrate that or support me in that and it not have anything to do with him. Like, I don't need you trying to be all in the spotlight or, you know, just competing with me or downplaying anything that I'm doing.
Right.
Just because or at least I'm
like,
doing.
Just let it be even. Like, take note of I'm doing something. This is important to her. Let me celebrate her in her moment.
Right.
Even if you got something else going on, I think you should, like, be available, because if you really are a ride or die, then you care. You care about how successful they are. You care about how happy they are. So,
okay. And then the last article I'm going to pull from is about the red flags. This is more so about how to spot when maybe like your friend or somebody is in a ride or die situation and it's not good. Like red flags to look for, but also you can apply them to yourself. Because, you know, there's a thin line between loyalty and, girl, what you doing? so, this is from yourtango.com. One red flag is that the person is getting taken advantage of or is settling for less than they deserve. And this one can sometimes be hard to spot for yourself, but easy to spot for someone else. Like, I know my friends. I know what they deserve. I know how wonderful they are. I know what they are capable of. And I know, you know, this and then the other. So when I look at my friends and I see that they are being taken advantage of or, you know, putting things to the side, overlooking things, I'm like, you know, I'm there to just be like, okay, now remember, this is what you said you wanted and you're not getting it and you're not speaking up about it or whatever. But sometimes when it's you in the moment, you don't always recognize. Yeah. Because you're not always thinking about, oh, I'm worth more than this or whatever. Sometimes you're just in the moment thinking, well, it's not that big of a deal. And then it be like in 6 months, it's a big deal.
Sometimes you literally just trying to function. Yeah. You just
right.
Like...
Yeah. And then the next one is romanticizing a not so great relationship. Oh my God. Oh my God. This is one of my biggest pet peeves with like trying to be there for somebody who's in a bad relationship when you see that it's not good, but they're always like, but you know, we have so much history and we're so in love and woo woo, and it's like, okay, but you know, I feel like you're really, you know, you spit shine in this, like it's not really that great, like it's really not. And you don't have to put on for me. I see.
Right.
Three, the person constantly has to prove how committed they are, and that's, you know, your friend in a relationship and their partner is constantly making, like, putting them in situations where they have to choose something that might put them in jeopardy.
That's toxic.
Yeah. Almost cussed, but yes, it is. Always taking the accountability and focus off of the partner. Like, when y'all talk about their relationship, it's always, there's never any accountability for the other person. It's lots of excuses.
Or reasons why they did the stuff they did.
And then that often leads to the fifth one, which is losing respect for the partner. I know that's how I can tell when I'm done with a relationship, is because if I start to respect you less, I don't even think it's fair that I stay in this relationship. Because regardless of what I think of you, nobody deserves to be disrespected in their relationship or to be in a relationship with somebody who doesn't respect them. There's just no point. So if you've done a bunch of things to me that I feel like when I look at you, I don't even see a partner, like my equal. I see somebody that, you know, I'm annoyed with all the time, or, you know, I don't think that they can handle certain things. I can't depend on them for this and that and the other. I start to lose respect, and then I gotta go, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So those are some red flags and some good things to look for. Essentially, being a ride or die is not necessarily a bad thing. But right. Like we talked about, it's a very gray area. There's a thin line between being a ride or die and being plain stupid for somebody. Mm-hmm. And a lot of us can say that we've been both. So, yep. but you know how we do. Y'all share your ride or die stories with us. And we can talk about them a little more. We'll probably do something surrounding this on social media so we can really interact.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
But that's it for Digging the Scene. We can move on.
All righty. So we're moving on into, I did a walk and I think my brain going to sleep. Words was on top of each other. We are moving into the Rescue Me segment. So the Rescue Me segment is a really fun segment. It's a time where we allow our listeners to participate by sending us emails or recording themselves, telling stories about their experiences, whether it be on the topic that we're talking about for the show or a previous show. You guys can email us at savethedaysos@gmail.com, or you can record your story and post it to our anchor page. That link is in the bio of our Instagram. But it's also a time for me to do some different activities, and I thought that this one would be really fun. So, Imani, this is another game, since you know you typically win my games. Hopefully you'll win this one. So there are five ride or dies. These are movies. So what you have to do is you have to guess the movie, guess the character, and then you have to say whether you felt they were a ride or die or not based on the clues that I'm about to give you, okay?
Oh, Lord, okay.
Okay, so the first one, okay. So in this movie, this character, it's a female. She barely knew the person. By the end of
are
the
movie. Are these black movies?
Most of them are black.
I'm gonna get my black card revoked. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so she barely knew him. It was very early on, but she showed in the movie that she has potential ride or die like features. She helps him get his son back, and she falls in love with him in a very short period of time. His son was kidnapped, and she helps him get him back, if that makes it easier.
I have no idea.
Okay, the guy in the movie is a singer. He used to have a lip ring.
A lip ring.
He's also Jody and Baby Boy.
Okay, so Tyrese, but... Mm-hmm. What movie? I really don't know.
It was okay. So it was Waist Deep. So in Waist Deep,
oh,
they kind of had like,
yeah, I never saw that movie.
Story. Oh, okay. That's well, the childish. Character was Megan Good. So this is what it, now you can say whether she was.
Wait, I have seen that movie, but I only seen it one time, and it was on BET okay. A long time ago.
Well, I actually went to the movie theater. But so in that movie, since you can't actually say if it was a ride or die if you don't remember it, but in the movie. She didn't really know him like that. They just knew somebody mutually. Mm-hmm. And she ended up in his mess, which is how the title Waist Deep came up, because it was like, we waist deep in this now. There ain't no turning back. So she ends up helping him get his son back because his son had got ransomed. So to me, she was a ride or die. Even though they wasn't in a relationship and it was really early on, she kind of didn't have a choice. Like, her life was at risk because of him. And she wrote it out. She kept his son. And he went and met her in Mexico at the end of the movie. So,
come on, Mexico.
Okay, so the next one. I mean, this movie is white people, so it's a white movie, I guess. You remember, you have to guess the movie. You have to guess who the character is. You can say the character's real name or their character name in the movie. It don't matter. Okay. You have to say whether you felt they were riding down. This one, I have my own opinion on what this helpful was. Okay, so it's a female. She met the person on a boat. She let him get arrested, and she also let him freeze to death.
Oh, the Titanic, and it was Rose and Jack, and she was not nobody's ride or die. Jack was the ride or die.
Cause she could have let him get on that door with her.
She could have.
She and she should have believed him enough to not let him get arrested about that necklace.
Yes. Yes, she was not a ride or die. She was having her fun or whatever, falling, having a little love affair.
She was having the time of her life.
And somebody else was, you know, this was a movie about classism. Mm-hmm. And that lady was rich, and she let that poor boy not only take the fall for something and go to jail or get arrested or whatever, but die, she let him die. Right. Of hypothermia.
I do feel like Jack was a ride or die.
Absolutely. Jack was the real ride or die. Epitome. The only ride or die in that movie.
Period. In the whole movie.
Jack and the dude that was still playing the violin when the Titanic was going down. That's a ride or die.
He was like, just keep playing, guys. I was like, I'd have been shoving that violin at somebody's head. You ain't gonna have me entertaining these folks.
I'd have been using that violin as a life raft. I'd have been like, look, everybody, give me your cello right now. I need it.
Okay, so you got that one. This next one, I feel like I loved the story when I was younger, but the older I got, the more it kind of pisses me off a little bit. Okay, so in this next movie, the character is a he. The person he should be riding for is a female. Okay. So he didn't take her to prom. He left her.
I already know.
Because
I already
he had an
know
attitude
and I'm furious.
And pursued his career. And he beat her ass in a game of basketball for his heart.
Girl, I will never forgive him in this movie. And I was so mad when they got together at the end. Loving basketball.
Yes. Do you feel
Nia
Long
was
a ride or die?
Sanaa Lathan was stupid in that movie, and so was what's his name? Is Omar Epps?
Yep,
he was stupid too. Both of them were stupid, and I don't even know what they are not ride or dies. They just dumb. Both of them, I hated it.
It was such a beautiful love story when I was younger, and it pisses me off so bad. Now.
No,
I know you didn't waste your whole grown life waiting on this man.
And he got injured or whatever. Didn't he get injured?
Yeah, he got injured. And he had the nerve to play with her enough to, when I say that man beat her.
Like he was not trying to be in love with her.
He was like, girl.
And she was just standing there looking stupid, crying.
Looking stupid, talking about I'll play you for your heart. Girl, if you don't go back to bed.
I was just like, please. She's stupid, he's stupid. You gonna take this man when he injured and ain't got much to offer.
Well, the only reason he was with that other girl was his ego anyways, but
exactly,
you know, they don't,
which is another reason why she shouldn't have chosen him, because if that's all it takes for you to choose somebody else, baby, I'll see you on the other
go
side.
Choose them all
and
day
I'll see
long.
You next lifetime, because I'm not gonna be able to do it.
Okay. So the next one, I don't know if you've been on Instagram, so maybe you've seen it, but she done acted out everything, so this ain't a good clue. But Ray Janae recently acted out a scene from this movie. This is a female. She's supposed to be riding for a guy. So, the girl, she got the guy to leave his wife for her. She stole all of his money and cleared out his bank account. And she left him for dead. It's a black movie.
Is it a Tyler Perry movie?
Yes, it's a Tyler Perry movie. Don't it sound like it?
Yes. And I didn't even know which one it was. I was just like, this sounds like a Tyler Perry movie.
A disaster.
Is it, it ain't Why Did I Get Married, is it?
No. She didn't leave him for dead and Why Did I Get Married.
I'll be getting those movies mixed up. Like, I always mix up the plots of those movies. Let me just think of another Tyler Perry title. So it ain't Why Did I Get Married.
It's one of the older movies that he made.
The one, it's called, hold on. Ugh. I can't think of the name of it.
I'm not bitter. I'm mad as hell.
Yeah, Diary of a Mad Black Woman, yes.
Yes.
I was like, why do I know? I was like, something in,
and the character, though. Do you remember who the character was?
No, I don't.
It was the woman that he left his wife for. Her name was Karen. And she clearly was not a ride or die.
No. And I think
and to be honest, Karen really wasn't. She went there to torture that man.
I think leaving somebody for somebody else is stupid. One, because if they would leave whoever for you, why you think they wouldn't leave you for somebody else? I don't know. I guess
that's
if
why
you think
she left
y'all's
him first.
True love and whatever, but I don't know. Because to me, y'all was cheating anyway. So I would just be like,
well, he did cheat on that lady.
No,
he
I'm saying in general, like when people leave somebody for someone else, I think to myself, so y'all was cheating. So why do you think he's not going to cheat on you or she right. or whatever? But anyway, Yeah, that's a fool, and ain't nobody right.
He didn't get them chance. He didn't get a chance till he got them legs knocked from up under him. So she left him.
Okay, them legs knocked from up.
She was not a rider, and the wife is debatable because she went back and took care of him as her wifely duties, but she was beating his tail in there.
He deserved it. I'm sorry. Don't quote me on that.
Are you beating him? She was in it when she threw that play at him and dumped him in that bathtub. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, she done lost her everlasting mind, and she got every right.
She was like, yeah, it's my moment now. Mm-hmm. He was talking all that when you could talk. He was talking all that.
So I honestly thought she was gonna drop like a boombox in the tub.
I did too. I really thought a radio was coming next, and I was gonna applaud.
I was like, oh, she going to prison. Okay, last one. This movie, he is a guy, to be real, he honestly rides for everybody in his entire family. He races cars. He still pursued her after she shot him.
Oh.
And he jumped out of a burning vehicle to save her.
Is this Fast and Furious?
Yes.
I don't even remember which one that is, but because I'm like, child.
Well, I mean, over the series, it's one couple that I'm talking about specifically.
Is it the Paul Walker character?
No, okay. It's Vin Diesel. And okay, Lady.
Yeah, I should have known when he said jumped off of something burning. Yeah. I've seen a couple of those Fast and Furious movies, but I didn't follow the franchise. I know I saw Tokyo Drift.
Tokyo Drift is actually on right now.
What?
But yeah, it is. It's on Bravo. But so... Letty and Dom met when they were like really young, and they kind of like just always rode for each other. The only reason she shot him is because she had amnesia. She didn't know who he was. But
that's not funny.
But once she relearned him, their relationship got back to normal. But she did shoot him. She shot him right in his shoulder too, and he was so surprised. So I think he was a rider because, like, I feel like after Tokyo Drift, when they decided to continue the franchise, they showed how he was about his family, period. A lot of the situations that he was in was protecting, whether it be Paul Walker, whether it be Letty, his sister, or somebody else in their group, he was very protective of them. And I think he's a great example of ride or die. I think that, and I'll even go down to the accountability piece of ride or die and him even being that, especially I think like in the first Fast and the Furious, because I feel like that's when they were trying to show that his character was the leader.
Mm-hmm.
So he was always like having these very like godfather conversations with people.
Child.
So for real. And then I had a bonus one based on something we were just talking about, but I forgot about it already. So you got 2.5 out of 5. So that was good.
I'm lit.
It was fun. We all agree that Rose was not a ride or die, so we can settle that fact now. It was not
Rose
a love story.
Rose is trash. That she lady shouldn't have been the only one
living. Privilege and got she some did. Young cheeks in that movie and let him die. And it's awful how it all played out. So that concludes the rescue segment for this episode. If you would like to participate in our rescue segment, or you have something that you want us to cover in this segment, feel free to reach out to us. You can DM us on Instagram, Save the Date Show, or you can email us at SaveTheDateSOS@gmail.com, and we can move on.
All right, so let's get into the Trend Watch segment. And I don't know why I'm doing so much singing. I chose one that I'm not going to share my thoughts on it yet. I'm just going to tell you what it is, and then I will share what I feel about this. So this is called dial toning.
Is that when you hang up on somebody?
No, but sort of. Oh. So it's sort of like ghosting, except I guess this particular article is regarding ghosting as you already have an established relationship with somebody and then you just disappear on them. Dial toning is before you even get there, but like maybe you were out somewhere, you met somebody, y'all talked for a minute, I guess y'all might have been vibing or whatever, then you give them your number and then you never answer their call. It says ignoring someone before a relationship ever begins, it's the act of giving someone your phone number only to ignore them when they reach out. And 60% of singles have experienced someone giving them their phone number only to have their text ignored when reaching out, 35% of singles admit to doing this to someone as well. I'm going to jump out the window here and say that 60% of those singles that have experienced this,
male.
Probably about 60% of those people were men.
Definitely male. Because I definitely do that.
I do too. Because I don't really be wanting to talk to y'all past that moment. I don't think there's nothing wrong with that.
Say no sometimes.
Well, okay, let me say, I don't necessarily not think there's anything wrong with it, but I understand why people do it. One, if you're a woman and there's a man asking you for your number and you don't want to give it to them, it's not always a graceful thing to tell some man you don't want to give him your number or you don't want to talk.
Especially if y'all just... Them people in Atlanta are nuts.
Yeah, and sometimes you just... The conversation y'all had was cute in the moment, but you don't really want to carry it past that moment.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't know how to tell somebody that. You don't know how to say to somebody, I mean, this was cute, but I don't really want to talk to you every day. Or I don't want you hit my phone or whatever. So I'm guilty of it. I will say that. I'm also
a victim
of it. I got somebody's number. This was a minute ago, but he seemed very excited to give me his number. Then he gave it to me. I think, and I'm not even a person to take people's numbers. But I texted him a couple times and he like barely replied. And I was like, oh, okay, well, I won't be texting him no more. Needless to say, I don't have his number anymore. But we may have had like one conversation. So I don't know. I don't necessarily think that it's a bad thing. Do I think that it's good to communicate that you don't want someone's number? Yes. Do I also think that it's dangerous to do so sometimes? Yes.
Yes.
So I don't know what to tell y'all, honestly.
I don't know. I feel like people have a right to change their minds, so they don't owe you also, a response.
Just because you have somebody's number does not mean that they have to answer you every time you call.
Right.
Or at all.
Unless in a relationship with you, because I'll kill you.
Well, but, you have an obligation to somebody that you've committed something to, yeah. But just...
Other than that, no.
No. Just because you have my number does not mean every time you call me, I need to be picking up and answering it. It's just not how
and
it works.
Please understand that that works for whether it is a friendship
yes,
or not. Because yes. Some people, you have my number... I'm not trying to be funny, literally out of privilege, but please don't abuse that. If we're not that close, like, don't do too much.
But even if we are, I think it's a little abusive, manipulative to just require that somebody answer all your calls. Like, I get it. Y'all are best friends or y'all been friends since whenever. But, you know, I always see people tweet stuff like, if you can't talk right now, why can't you just say that? If I didn't answer the phone, it means I can't talk right now. Why do I need to tell you I can't talk right now if I literally cannot talk right now? Like, I just think you're requiring too much of people sometimes. Now, if somebody is dodging you and they need to say to you, like, hey, you know, I'm in the middle of something or whatever, but if it's not important, like, you just calling to shoot the breeze, like, relax. Yeah. Like, relax.
I do think it is a common courtesy to eventually respond back or say, I'll call you back later. I think that if it's somebody that you talk to regularly, I do think it's a common courtesy to, like, if it's the end of the night, you be like, hey, my bad, I missed it. Or whenever you have a chance to actually respond back, or at least that's my preference, I try to respond back to people. Eventually, I don't just let it go unread or unnoticed, but I don't think that everybody got to respond to you in the moment that you want them to. And I'm very impatient, so that's something that I have to learn on the receiving end, but I do think it's common courtesy if it's somebody relationship.
If I'm gonna call you back later,
yeah,
I'm saying,
or I'll just call you back.
That's what I'm saying is that requiring someone to tell you I'm going to call you back every time they can't talk right now, I think it's childish. To be honest, that's just how I feel. If you call me and I don't answer, if I talk to you all the time, you can safely assume that I will call you back eventually. I don't need to pick up my phone, like, look at my phone, see that it's ringing in the middle of something and say, hey, I'm going to call. And to me, it is childish as a 30-year-old person to feel like I need to do that for other grown people. Just wait. I'm going to call you back. And if it takes too long or whatever, call me again later. Text me again later. Say, hey, I was trying to get into it. Especially if it is not important. If it's something very important, you know better than anybody else anybody that's close to me, you know that if I don't answer the phone, the next thing you need to do is text me, because I may not have seen your phone call or whatever, if it's important. If you literally are just trying to talk, just relax. Hold on. I'm going to call you back. I'm going to text you back, whatever the case may be. I'm not ever going to just, like, never acknowledge the fact that you tried to contact me. Like,
yeah. And I think, honestly, I think some people with that trait, it's because they deal with people that don't ever eventually contact them back. Or don't apologize when they go long times without contacting them.
Well, and I think that's y'all need to quit calling people who don't care that they talk to y'all then. Right. I'm telling you, as a grown person, I am not going to be like, hey, I'm so sorry, I'm going to call you right back every time I miss a call. Like, no. I'm going to call you back, because that's what you do when somebody calls and you miss their call. You call them back.
That's what you should do.
But anyway, so dial toning is the act of giving somebody your number and then just being like, never mind.
And yeah, I do that quite often. Me especially too. Depending on how you text or call me. Like, don't FaceTime me if you just got my phone number, because that's weird. And don't text me, hey sexy. That's a quick way to never get a response from me ever again. Shot yourself in the foot there.
Not hey sexy.
I hate stuff like that. Or you, like, you got my number and then somehow you found my Instagram and you blew it up.
Now, every morning they texting you, good morning, beautiful, good morning, beautiful, good morning, beautiful. Have a great day, queen. Have a great day, queen.
And, you know, them type of messages is sweet when it's coming from somebody you actually want to get it from.
Yeah.
Other than that, you like,
it's kind of mundane after a while. I don't like routine. So, if you send me good morning, beautiful, every day, I'm going to be like, can we start the conversation another way? Just because it sometimes feels not genuine. And then queen, I know that's a huge, like, a buzzword right now, but it is, like, promise you it doesn't do anything for me. I don't dislike it, but it's not, I feel like some people, like, really regard that highly, and I'm just not one of those people. I don't
say
it's not a thing that really does anything for me. I'm not gonna be like, don't call me queen, but I'm also not about to be like, oh, he called me queen.
Like, I don't call me king. I don't be like, keep your head up, king. I don't do all that. No, good morning, kings. Just in case nobody told you today, we love our black kings. And
no,
you
know, it gets corny after a while. But I'm definitely here for uplifting whoever. But I can do it without queen and king and prince and princess. Like, I do prince and princess for kids, but not for anybody else. Well, anyway, that's it. That's the end of the train. Watch segments. And we can move on to lessons learned. I feel like this was a really quick on point show.
It was fun too. So lessons learned. My lesson learned is, it is amazing to ride for somebody who is riding for you, and it is okay to do that. Like, when I say I'm really one of them, if you rocking, I'm rolling. If I feel you got my back, I got yours. And I'm not one of those people who extend loyalty, like, to get it back. But it is, and I would.
But you respect when you do get it back.
Yeah, it is very much so appreciated. So I don't think that riding or dying is a bad thing. I know that people joke and say it's a bad trait sometimes. Like, I ain't never dying or whatever. I get that, but when it's for the right person, it can be amazing. And to feel that support mutually is a really great thing. So that's my lesson.
Mine is, do not find yourself in a position calling yourself a ride or die because you're afraid of breaking up. There are worse things.
Wow, that's good.
There are much worse things than a breakup. I promise you that there are. And if there aren't for you emotionally, I would challenge you to do some emotional inventory and work to kind of, you know, figure out where that attachment comes from, where every breakup you have is just devastating. You know what I'm saying? And that's not me looking down on a breakup being devastating, because sometimes they really are. But every breakup doesn't have to be that way. And you shouldn't be afraid of ending something or afraid of being alone. If you need to, if it is already damaging your health, or, you know, not being respectful of who you are as a person, if the relationship is manipulative and conniving, you need to end it. And you need not be afraid of that. You need to feel good about saying goodbye to this person. And it might hurt a little bit because you get used to people and all that, whatever. But you know, the devastation is already happening in the relationship. So, mm-hmm. you know, we should be working toward not being afraid of letting go of people when it's time for that. Dealing with the sadness that comes along with it, or the loneliness that comes along with not having a partner anymore. You know, that's a real thing. But also, don't give people too much. Like, don't put too much weight on what y'all have. That romanticizing a relationship really happens. Like, I feel like mm-hmm. some of us go through really harsh breakups because we've given the person too much. Like, we've decided that they are just much greater of a person than they actually are.
And that's very true.
And we are so devastated to lose them. But it's like, what are we even losing? What did they even add to your life? Like, for mm-hmm. you to be that broken up about the fact that y'all not together no more. So, assess that, and don't find yourself running behind being loyal to riding and dying with somebody because you're just afraid to say goodbye to them when they are being disrespectful or, you know, not valuing your presence in their life. Mm-hmm. And that's it.
All right.
That does it for this episode of the Save the Date podcast. Be sure to leave your comments and let us know what you think about it. This is a bi-weekly podcast, so you can catch us here again, not next week, but next week. And we are trying to keep on schedule during quarantine. But, you know, people think we're just not doing nothing. Like, not me and you, but, like, in general, people think that people are just not doing anything because they're at home. Right. Quarantine life is a lot.
A lot.
And so just bear with everyone who is creating content, because it can get kind of dark. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you just don't have anything to talk about because today sucks.
Everything else is happening. Yeah. Like, life is still happening. Yeah.
So, yeah. Be patient with all your favorite content creators, whether it's us or somebody else. I don't know. But we're trying.
We are.
And to have your stories and such and such, whatever you want to contribute to the show, include it. You can email us at savethedatesos@gmail.com, or you can send us a DM on Instagram at savethedateshow, or you can go to savethedateshow on anchor.fm or the Anchor app and leave us a voice note. voice notes are fun because we get to hear y'all tell y'all stories in your own voice, and we can edit them into the show and all that. Mm-hmm. And follow our Instagram because we have been doing some lives and stuff like that lately, and so it's fun, another touch point for y'all to interact with us, and we appreciate that. So yeah, that's it for me too.
I'm definitely praying for y'all.
Yes, in this time. Please stay as safe as possible.
Yes, and stay encouraged, because
yes,
that is tough. Like, especially working during this, while working during this is a blessing, it's a whole nother type of encouragement. Mm-hmm.
Especially if you've actually been affected by.
Yeah, a lot of us have some really tough roles during this time right now. So, praying for y'all for sure. All right, y'all.